This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and our first story of the day is about something that I just love to talk about. I don't get a chance often enough. I'm really excited. And it is about having good signboards. This is, I think, a classic Malaysian complaint. And today, it's a little bit, I think, I want to look at it through the lens of not just locals, but also tourists. And this is coming after the Phnom Penh Post and Asia News Network have reported that Cambodia has banned property developers from using Google Translate for their signboards and their trademarks.
So now language specialists and relevant authorities have to be consulted before signboards are put up to ensure that translations are accurate and professionally done. In one city, the municipal council took down nearly 400 signboards in the first half of this year because they had the wrong meaning and letters.
You know what? This reminds me of some pictures that I've seen on the internet where menus or shop names in other countries which haven't been translated well.
Yeah.
I remember seeing one menu which is like just translated like beef something, and you're like, what is this? So the results can either be hilarious like that, or I guess like completely confusing as well for some tourists. So you can imagine that if a tourist were to come to a country, for example, and they were lost or wanted to look for the signature cuisine at that place, so having bad signboards or translations won't be great for the experience really as a tourist.
Okay, so we're gonna get into it, but we also wanted to gauge the sentiment around our signboards here in Malaysia. So our interns just went around the office to ask some people about the funniest signboards that they've come across. And here's what we got.
I guess the funniest signboard I've ever seen is on the way to the Rimbau, Negeri Sembilan. There's a toilet ad that says, "Your sanitary, we trust."
No tauge, no order. So if you want to customize your char kway teow order, he won't serve you.
Put in front of a guy's house, it said, "No more parking." Bukan no parking, no more parking.
And based on our small survey, it also appears that to be pretty common for people to get into a bit of trouble with signboards on the road.
Malaysia is the worst country for signboards. By the time you see the turn left, you have gone past the road. These guys don't know where to put signboards. They're very, very bad.
Yes, it misleads and misguides me all the time. I was traveling from Shah Alam back to Subang, and on my left, suddenly it's Mid Valley, guys. So I was far off.
So actually, if you realise when you drive on the road, so let's say I stay in PJ, and you'll have two signboards which both say PJ, and then as you go further on, there'll be three, and then you're just screwed.
I think as a foreigner, sometimes I have difficulty in that sometimes signs are translated in both English and Malay. And I understand this is Malaysia, so of course the sign should be in Malay. But sometimes on the highway, they're only in Malay, especially kind of driving directions. So for example, if a sign says Kurangkan Hat Laju, like slow down, if you don't know Malay, it might be kind of hard to understand the speed limit.
Yeah, so all of those things have consumed me at different points in my life, because I do think the way we choose to communicate to the public is really interesting and important. And it's one thing for locals to look at a sign and scoff because, yeah, I understand it. I mean, sure, it's a little odd, but I get it. And it's quite another to expect a tourist to just rock up to our country and actually understand sort of the internal flow of what we're thinking or doing. Specific to that thing about how you could have three separate signboards that say PJ deviating on one highway, I think that's one of those things, especially because the same thing can be true of Kuala Lumpur, because they're kind of two major cities, they're close to one another, and they mean like North Kuala Lumpur or South Kuala Lumpur. And similarly in PJ, you could be talking about Gasing versus Damansara. They're two separate spots entirely, but no matter, just say PJ lah, and then you just keep going.
I just wonder how much that adds to traffic, right? It might be a bit of a tenuous link, but just from getting lost, it means that people are spending a lot more time on roads. And being that the case, then, you know, you just are adding more cars on the road as opposed to just them quickly getting to their destinations. And I think it's also frustrating that there aren't any clearer road signs as to what road you are on. Particularly, I miss a lot of turnings simply because Waze says to take this particular road, but I can't, because they're so close together, I don't know which one they mean.
I mean, my pet peeve when it comes to translation and tourism is poor translation of descriptions in museums. I remember going to, I think it was either the Ethnography Museum or the Orang Asli Museum, where the translation, it was so distracting, like how terrible the English was. And I mean, you can understand what it is, but like when a tourist comes to Malaysia, you know, you want to present like the best side of you. So having translation that is not very good with its grammar doesn't really help with our image.
Least of all in museums, where you actually more often than not need explanations for what you're looking at, right? Something that just looks like a rock could have been used by an axe by a very specific tribe for very specific reasons. But if you haven't translated that appropriately, I'm not going to know what you mean. On the flip side, I've seen us kind of overcompensating for our weird road designs, because on the North-South Highway, if you take it and if you near, as you near the Ipoh exit, have you seen that? As you near the Ipoh exit, they are just really, really, really invested in making sure you don't miss that exit. So Ipoh is like in, I don't know, size 64 or something, and then everything else is in 14. And it's just like, Ipoh! They shriek at you repeatedly at like 500 meter intervals. I love it. But yeah, we're talking today about the importance of signage, which I think is so crucial, especially for tourists, especially when you don't want people just wandering around like headless chickens. Talk to us. Have you noticed that our signboards maybe need a little bit of help? Have you noticed any particularly funny Google translated signs or menus or anything like that? Share it with us. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Diana Lee, who is a licensed tourist guide, as well as the executive secretary of the Malaysian Tourist Guides Council. That's coming your way. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:14 in the evening with Lynn, Iman and Kelvin, and today we're talking about signage, particularly in terms of how helpful or detrimental, frankly, it can be for tourists to our country. This is coming after Cambodia has banned property developers from using Google Translate for their signboards and trademarks, because we've all seen what can come of that. I think earlier, Iman, Beef something. Delicious dish. The one that everybody knows. So we're asking you for your own experiences. I mean, how important is signage to you? Have there been any that you've seen that have been particularly hilarious? Let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And in the meantime, on the line with us is Diana Lee, a licensed tourist guide, who's also the executive secretary of the Malaysian Tourist Guides Council. Diana, thank you for joining us. So, in your experience, do most countries have signs that are helpful for tourists?
Definitely, signages are very important. They have international colours, like you know that brown will be for touristic sites, green would be for national roads, and blue will be local roads and all that. I think there's a bit of standardisation.
And in terms of language, many countries perhaps use the national language on their signboards. Do you ever find this a challenge to understand when you are visiting a new country?
I think national languages are important because it's also part of the country's culture. So definitely the signages would cater to the bigger audience, which is their own people. So the national language would be there. And of course, maybe some major local languages. And English, the international language, most would use it. But there's a growing number of countries that use infographics. I mean, they use pictures. So it's easily understood by anyone who's new to the place.
And like now we have Google Translate, right? So do you see it often coming in handy for tourists?
I've seen people use it, but they really don't depend on this type of translation a lot. Most of them would just find out like what place is this, and then they'll do the searching or they'll read through the information that's available there themselves to find out more. There are also those who will use maybe other applications to find out a place. The local tourism will also have their own information available to them. So when the tourists go there, I think they are already prepared, but going there to look for more details.
Right. And as you've mentioned, we also now have apps like, of course, Google Maps, Waze. With these in place, are signboards losing their importance for tourists?
Yes. Not everyone will be traveling with data. So sometimes they will have the data with them. Sometimes if the infrastructure is not very good, then they may not get. So I think the signboard signages are still very, very important.
Right, and that's fair. I mean, have you come across, though, tourists who perhaps just aren't interested or don't want to participate in certain activities or buy certain things because of poor signage?
I think if they travel on their own, this will occur. But if they travel with a guide, a local guide, a licensed guide, who can then translate and explain to them why it's done in this way, why it's prepared this way, what is it, how is it cooked, what is done, to do the explanation. That's why a local guide is always very, very important for a tourist to really get the right interpretation and to understand and get themselves involved in the local culture, which can include food.
Yeah, especially when you don't know what it is you're eating. And you know, what about Malaysian signboards? Do you think they are helpful from tourists' perspective?
I think for Malaysia, a lot of touristic places, our government has done a lot. There's a lot of improvement on signages, promoting places or directing people to certain places, touristic places. So I think the signages are there, but some of the signages, I think, needs a bit of maintenance over the years. Maybe it should be more current, especially if there are new ways to go certain place and all that. So not everyone uses Waze. Of course, the regular travelers will use Waze or Google Maps. But there are also those who are depending on signages to guide them where they are. So far, to touristic places, the various state governments have done a lot, but they can do more. My personal feeling is that other than putting signages, I think infographics will help, like pictorial ones. It's catered to the different age group of people.
So you mentioned that some signboards need updating. What are some of the problems that you've come across yourself?
Yes, sometimes the signages, maybe they are not there because of vandalism. Sometimes to weather, wear and tear, the paint is gone. Sometimes, you know, it's already old. It's not maintained properly. So I think that needs a bit of taking care of by the local council to ensure that all these information, all these signages are up to date. More so when there are like a new road leading to the place, you know. So if the signages are updated, people would actually use a shorter way to go to visit the site.
Right. And, you know, whether it's, I don't know, improving our signboards or maybe including more infographics, what kind of tourists should we keep in mind and are there strategic locations to implement this?
Our biggest would be our own domestic travellers. And the age-wise would be, now the younger people are travelling quite a lot locally, but they normally go on their own in small groups. So our signages should be sufficient and should be clear enough to cater to them. At the same time, there's also a growing trend of retirees who, a group of friends in their 60s, you know, driving around on their own. And those people also need the assistance of these signages. So for domestic, I think the signages should cater to them, both in language as well as pictures. And then for the free and independent travelers, like, for example, the backpackers or those FIT tourists, you know, free independent travelers who come on their own, they read a place, they want to go there. So we need to cater to these different types of people who are now traveling a lot more with low-cost carriers. A lot of them are coming in smaller groups, friends. So these people find it very, very beneficial. One thing I noticed that signages are missing or information is missing at strategic places like entry points, like bus stations or train stations for people when they come. What can you do in this area? That is lacking.
Do you think this has been a problem for a long time now?
I'm not sure whether it's long time, but we have had feedback from friends who travel, who hear from about a certain place which is so good, and then they wanted to go on their own. But when you go there and say, oh, I spent some time going around before I could find a place. Or there are people who say they want to take public transport to this place, but they're not sure how to get there on their own. There's not everyone has transport, because I've had a location before where the students from Taiwan came for a holiday, and they were going to have extra time to visit, and they said, what can we do? So I said, okay, you can either go Malacca or you go Perak. You know, you don't need to stay the night. It's, you know, you can go for a day trip. And we advised them to take the bus at the bus station to go there. But once they arrive, they sort of like get lost. They're not able to, it's not as friendly as some countries. I've gone on my own to other countries before, backpacking, and I find certain more developed tourism countries, they are really, really good with their signages and information. So you could actually travel on your own, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Diana, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Diana Lee, Executive Secretary of the Malaysian Tourist Guides Council, talking to us about signage here in our country and how it matters when it comes to tourism. You know, you want people to know where they're going, basically. You want them to be able to keep track of what they're eating. If you have any, well, particularly egregious examples of signs in our country, or if you'd like to share your thoughts on their importance, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we have Saiful on the line with us. Saiful, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. Hi. My thought is that I think that we really need to look at the importance of the graphic design. So I believe that graphic design can really solve this problem. For example, like we can combine the subject, I mean the visual itself, together with that. It's not an easy task, but it can be done. Because some people, not everybody is very prone to text, and not everybody are prone to visual. Of course, text is as a visual, but combining both visual and text can be very effective. And again, it's not an easy task. Really, I mean, we really need to find somebody who really can do this, and really to study about combining visual and text and information all together and simplify it. Yes, it's possible. It can be done. And I think it has been implemented in so many places. For example, museum. If we have been to museum or any galleries, they did implement this kind of like visual text kind of integration. And I believe that really can work. And another thing is that we can actually combine the for example, we have Google Maps and we have the signage, the physical signage. Why not we integrate both things together to make things a little bit much more easier? That's my opinion.
Saiful, thank you so much for calling and for sharing. I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff there, especially in terms of giving a more punchy message, right? Because that's basically what we're talking about. If you were to integrate maybe a bit more of visual cues, as well as just not just relying on people to be able to read the whole thing or to be paying attention, I think that could go a long way.
It also then reminds me of the importance of the type of font and the design you choose to use, right? Your language could be perfect, but if the font doesn't quite make sense or the design of it doesn't quite make sense, where it says, don't go in here, but it's placed wrongly, then you could also misconstrue it, or it doesn't make it as accessible as it should be.
Yeah. Although, to his point, to Saiful's point as well, I think that idea of doing it well is really important, because otherwise you're just making it busy. You know, that's all that you're achieving. We've been asking you for some examples, and we have this image here that was sent through by Chia. And it is, I'll just say of a local university. And it says, Bersatu kita teguh, bercerai kita roboh. That's in Malay, of course. And in English, it's United we stand, together we fall.
You have an oxymoron there.
Yeah. A little bit of a shift on the common English saying. And then we have this from Diana.
An example that I feel is emblematic of our roads at the junction near OU, OU.
Picking a team.
Heading towards the office, our office, there's the U-turn sign to indicate that the rightmost lane is only for U-turns. But there's a high chance that if you're not familiar with that road, by the time you see it, it might be really tough to switch back to the middle lane. And of course, some roads don't have signage at all, which is annoying.
Yeah, you know, that particular road, I think because I take it every single day, it is really awful. I mean, there's the U-turn thing, but there's also the fact of which lanes are allowed to turn right. right? Yeah. And the arrows only indicated extremely close to the traffic lights, which thank you for nothing. So, you know, which I think is how a lot of people feel about road signs in our country. It's like, well, thank you for nothing. I have missed it. Congratulations to me.
And like the arrows on the road as well can be very confusing. Like first it says you can go straight, but then only at the end it shows that you can turn right. And that really... can really trigger a driver.
We still have messages that are coming through. We will get to them after the 5:30 news. Keep them coming. We're talking about signage today. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.